If you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 53,
verse number 1. Put a marker there. Turn over to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. And we'll call out the references as far as verses are concerned in just a moment. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah 53 has correctly been called the gospel according to Isaiah. It is because this Old Testament chapter speaks more graphically of the person and the work of Jesus Christ than any other book in the Old Testament. 800 years after Isaiah penned these words, there was a Baptist deacon who found his way up to Samaria and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and multitudes were saved. Many people were healed. There was a genuine atmosphere of revival in the air, and God called this man to leave that environment and go into the desert, a way that would lead down to Gaza or Gaza, and there he would meet another man. And we read about that story in Acts chapter number 8, picking up with verse number 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah, or Esaias, the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he responded, How can I, except some man should guide me? And upon this, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now notice it tells us in verse 32, the location in the book of Isaiah that he was reading. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before her shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about something he's going to experience? Or is he talking about some other man? And verse 35 says, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Now, that was before there was a Roman road. And there was no New Testament. And so Philip preached unto him the gospel. And the source of material that contained the gospel was not the New Testament, but the Old Testament. And he was preaching to him from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. In other words, Philip introduced the eunuch to the gospel in the Old Testament. The gospel does not have its beginning in the New Testament, any more than Jesus Christ has his beginning in the New Testament. You can find the gospel of Christ in the Old Testament just as well as the New Testament. There's no better place in the entire Word of God to better understand the gospel, I believe, than in Isaiah chapter number 53. My assignment has been announced by Brother Justice, for this message is Christ misunderstood and rejected. And of course, the text is verse number 1, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Two very important questions are raised in this text. Number one, who hath believed our report? Number two, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? First of all, who hath believed our report? May I say the answer is very, very few. There are not many people who have come to believe the report as is so graphically set forth in Isaiah chapter number 53. In Matthew 7:14, the scripture says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The Ethiopian eunuch understood it. He believed it, but he was in and is in the minority. My dear friends, it is a sobering thing to understand that more people are not going to heaven than to go to hell. It's just quite the opposite. The majority of this world is going to hell tonight. There are a few, however, by the grace of God, who've been brought to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have received Him as Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians 1 says that when you preach the gospel, when you talk about the person and work of Christ, it is a stumbling block to the Jews. They don't want to listen to it. It's a hindrance. It's repugnant. It's repulsive. A stumbling block to the Jews. He also says it is foolishness to the Greeks. But to those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. And so, we're looking at this first question tonight. Who hath believed our report? Now, when he raises that question, what is he talking about when he says the report? Who has believed this report? Who has read this report? Who has heard of this report? A report is a message. It is tidings. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth what? Good tidings. That's the report he's talking about. That publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. You find it in the Gospel of Luke also, very clearly set forth in the second chapter, announcing the fact that Jesus Christ had been born. And in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, Fear not, I bring you what good tidings. Good tidings. I bring you a good report of great joy which shall be to you and to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This report means tidings. It means good news. In the military, an officer would send out a soldier with an assignment. He had to go out and do what he was told to do, and then he was to return and give his report as to what he found. It's called a report. Remember in the book of Numbers, chapter number 13, the report of Joshua and Caleb? Numbers chapter number 13. Let me take a moment to look at that passage. Verses 21, 25, and a few of those. Verse number 21 of Numbers 13. They went up and searched the land. Moses called out 12 spies to go into the land of Canaan and search out the land. He was the military leader. He was giving them an assignment. He sent them out on a duty to search out the land of Canaan, and bring back what? Bring back a report. Look at verse number 25. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days. In verse number 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let's go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it. Joshua and Caleb, two of those spies, had a good report. Good tidings. Good news. They said, it doesn't make any difference who the enemy might be or how big they might be. We're going to go in and we can, by the grace of God, take the land. However, if you'll notice that the news or the good tidings also had a negative response on the part of the 10 spies. For in verse number 32, they brought up an evil report out of the land. What am I saying? I'm simply saying, who hath believed our report? Sometimes that word report means a good report. Sometimes it means a bad report. Eli, for instance, heard a bad report about his sons in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 22-24. Nay, my sons, it is no good report that I hear. We're talking about a news, a tidings being brought. And Eli says concerning his two sons that had been very immoral with the women of the temple. He says, it's not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress, and so forth and so on. So we're talking about tidings being good tidings, or in the case of Isaiah, it's good tidings, but it can be evil tidings or an evil report. How many of you, as children, think back to that time? Some of us have to think a little longer than others. And you received a report card from your teacher. Now, what was that report card? It was news about you. Now, sometimes it wasn't good news. Sometimes it's bad news. And isn't it strange how providentially something would often happen to that report card from the time you got it till the time you were supposed to show it to your parents. But here, that's the whole idea that's involved in this word here. Who hath believed our report? Now, actually the report in Isaiah 53 is not a thing in the world, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 10, verse 16. And the 10th chapter of Romans explaining how God saves sinners. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then he talks about whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in Romans 10:16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, now here's Paul, hundreds of years later, separated from Isaiah. He refers to Isaiah and says, Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? So he is equating it in a contextual consideration that the report mentioned in Isaiah is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Now this report is to be believed. Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel. The report is not necessarily to be understood or to be able to explain it. But it is absolutely essential that it be believed. A man cannot be saved apart from exercising faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He must believe that from the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And the report is of such nature that it must be believed by faith and not by sight. In John chapter 12, verses 32 through 38, for the Son of Man must be lifted up, and if the Son of Man be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They had absolutely no idea who Jesus Christ was. And this is verified over and over again in the New Testament. But stay with me. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, these were things they could see, you see, yet they still wouldn't believe on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The report is of such nature that it must be believed by faith. It may not appeal to your logic. It may not appeal to your sense of education. But my dear friends, an individual is going to have to believe with his heart this gospel that we find in the Word of God. That's the report. Who hath believed our report? This is why we have a suffering Savior at the first coming, rather than a militant ruler. There will be few to believe this report because of his humiliation. Had he have kicked or overthrown the Roman Empire, all the Jews would have hailed him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Jesus Christ did not come the first time to reign. He came to die. He did not come the first time to be lauded as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but as a sacrificial lamb to make the atonement for the sins of His people on the cross of Calvary. The Jews expected everything but that, so the cross became a stumbling block to them. Peter tried to prevent Christ from going to Jerusalem. You remember that? Simon Peter is impulsive and is impetuous as he was. The Lord said, I must go to Jerusalem and there die. And Simon Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. That'll never happen. As long as I'm alive, you don't ever have to worry about that ever taking place. Simon Peter had never begun to grasp the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming the first time. And that was to make atonement for the sins of His people. Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on the back of an ass. And as He rode in, many of the children began to wave their branches, the palm branches, and begin to cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But the multitude stood off with their mouths draped open with utter confusion. And they said, who is this man? They did not understand the purpose of Christ coming the first time. They did not understand that. Even His own disciples from time to time were bothered with it. He had been their daily teacher. They had eaten with Him. They had slept with Him. They had heard Him teach the multitudes. They had heard the Beatitudes. They had heard the Sermon on the Mount. And now Christ says to them, I must go away. And therefore in John chapter 14 verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You know why he said that? Because their hearts were troubled. They didn't understand it. After his resurrection, if you would recall, the disciples still wanted to know when he would set up his kingdom. Did they not ask that? Lord, will you now at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That was all that was on their mind. And they could not grasp what Isaiah presents to us in the 53rd chapter. Talk about his exaltation. Amen. We're for that. But speak of his humiliation. And they did not understand that. Who hath believed our report? Very few have believed the report. Very few. And then the second question, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Arm, quote unquote, arm is symbolical for power and strength. The usage of a man's arm, what he does with his arm, indicates strength, and that carries over into the Scripture. The arm of the Lord is His power. when the Bible talks about the arm of God, when it talks about Christ Jesus ascending into heaven, what did He do when He got there? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He sat down at the right arm of the Father. That's the place of power, and it is the place of position. In Luke chapter 1, 49 and 51, Elizabeth was visited by Mary after she was expecting a baby, and of course that baby was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Virgin Mary went into the room and visited with Elizabeth, she began to praise God, and this is what she said, "For He that is mighty hath done me great things, holy is His name. He hath showed strength with His arm." Describing what God had done for her, "He, God, hath showed strength with His arm." To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Arm is symbolical for power and strength. In the book of Exodus chapter 6, verse number 6, "I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment." Have you ever wondered how the waters of the Red Sea were parted? You say, "Yes, sirree, it was the rod of Moses." No, it was the arm of God. That's the power of it, you see. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 16, "Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as stone till thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased." Not one of those Israelites perished in the waters of the Red Sea. Every last one of them were delivered from one side to the other side. But when Pharaoh and his army tried to follow them in, they were all destroyed by the waves and the waters of the Red Sea. And all the time they were drowning in the Red Sea, the children of Israel were having a singing convention over on the other side, and Moses was the song leader. By the way, here's the guy who said, "I can't preach, I'm afraid to speak to anybody." And here he's leading a 2 million voice choir to praise the Lord at what God had done. He saw the arm of God. To whom is the arm of the Lord? I'll be there in a minute. Stay with me. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Then in Ezekiel chapter 21, "Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh." Now what does that mean? That means that Pharaoh had power. Pharaoh had great power and authority, but God broke his arm. God broke his power. Because God is much greater than all the Pharaohs of the world. He made all the Pharaohs of the world. And I especially like Job chapter 40, verse number 9. Job is a favorite of mine because throughout the book, time after time, you read where Job wanted a personal interview with God. "I just wish I could get you three maggots off my back long enough so I'd have time to talk to God. If I can get an audience with God, we'll work this thing out." Well, the Lord God finally gave Job an audience, and Job couldn't say a word when the Lord got through with him. But in that course between God speaking to Job, the Lord says this in Job 40, verse 9. God said to Job, "Have you an arm like God?" Here Almighty God says to Job, "Do you want to arm wrestle with me? Huh? You think you're pretty tough. You got all your theology straightened out, and you think you've got all the answers to everything, and you want to come into my court and instruct me of how I ought to run heaven and earth? You want to hand wrestle me? Do you have an arm like God?" Speaking of God's omnipotent power, His almighty power. So to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Arm is symbolical for power. And the arm of the Lord is the revealing power of the report. I began by saying there are two questions in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Question 2 answers question 1. Who hath believed our report? Those and only those to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. And unless God does not reveal Himself, man will forever be blinded in his own sin and in his own rejection. The revealing power of God. No wonder you find statements like this in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the dynamite. It's the dynamite power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Take a moment to turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Verses 25 through 27. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. What is He thanking the Father for? At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Why is the Son thanking the Father? Here's the answer. Because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. It does not please God to reveal Himself to everybody. You say, well, it doesn't seem fair. I'm quite sure, my dear friends, that God will develop no ulcers over that. What the creature thinks of the creature is immaterial. God did quite well before you and I ever came along. And He'll continue to do quite well when we're pushing up daisies out there in the cow pasture somewhere. But it did please God to reveal it unto some. And do you know what? The Son thanked the Father for revealing it unto some. Even so, Father, why did He do it? Because it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Without that revealing power, there can be no belief of the report. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It is revealed to those whom God is pleased to reveal it, and when He reveals it, men believe the gospel and believe the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Again, the only people who will believe the report are the people to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. It is the gospel which the Lord uses to save sinners. Such is revealed to people out of every tongue, out of every tribe and nation in the world. I know we're in Isaiah 53, but look at Isaiah 52, verse 10. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm. There it is. In the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Quite frankly, I think that's the answer to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, God hath made bare His arm to all nations. Not every individual living in the world, but all kinds of people all over the world. God has been pleased to make bare His holy arm. And those people believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews misunderstood the Messiah's humiliation. We'll not turn to it. We'll not take the time to do so. But in the third chapter of Acts, verses 13 through 18, Simon Peter had preached. And he talked about the people who made up his audience. They were Jews. And he said, "You killed the Prince of Glory. You delivered him up. You did this. You did that. You did the other." And in verse 17 he said, "But I know this, that through ignorance you did it." Had they only known who he was, who he really was, they never would have done it. "So who hath believed our report?" Very few. There's a great ignorance today, and not many people are going to believe the report as we find it given here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1. Again in Isaiah 52, verses 13 through 14, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." That's his exaltation. But verse 14 says, "And many were astonished," or astonished at thee, "his visage," or his appearance, "was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." That's his humiliation. The people wanted the exaltation, but they did not want the humiliation, did not want it. So they did not understand Christ's humiliation, and therefore they rejected the Messiah. John 1:11, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." I believe He came unto His own kind. He came unto His own people. Jesus Christ was a Jew. The gospel makes it clear. The book of Acts makes it clear. There are several other references in various places of the New Testament make it clear that Jesus Christ came first to the Jew first, and then to the Greek, and then to the Gentile. That's who His own are. And what did His own do? His own received Him not. They didn't know Him, and they wouldn't believe it. And so Isaiah begins with, "Who hath believed our report?" Who has believed the gospel? Really believed it? I don't mean signing a pledge card on the front seat of a Baptist church on Sunday morning after the invitation's been given. I'm not talking about the ordinance of baptism or the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I'm not talking about a literal profession of faith that I do believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, do you really believe? Do you really know who He is? And have you really believed the report? Has the arm of the Lord been revealed to you? That's the gospel. And dear friends, you can hear the gospel until you are just blue in the face. And it can be preached until the preacher's blue in the face. It'll never do anything until God reveals that truth to your heart. And you begin to see, as Thomas said, "He is my Lord and He is my God." So it does begin, and properly so. And we end with this: "Who hath believed our report? And who is the arm of the Lord revealed?" He goes on in the rest of this 53rd chapter to tell you all about the suffering Savior and what He did to save sinners. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You so very much for the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the portals of heaven, came to this earth, took the sins of His people upon Himself. And, oh God, thank You for imputing His righteousness to our account and justifying us freely from all things. And our Father, we're here tonight not because of anything we've done, but because of what You did for us in Your Son on the cross of Calvary. And if there be those here tonight who do not know You personally and intimately as not just Savior, but as Lord also, may this be the hour when they too shall have truth revealed to them, and they will see the glory of Christ hanging on the cross and the purpose and the meaning behind that death on the cross to save sinners from their sins. And may they trust You and believe on You and turn from sin and turn from wickedness. Oh God, may Thy will be done in this hour. I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst take this message and every message of this conference and bless these dear preachers that follow this one tonight. O God, endow them with the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim Thy Word. And may, O God, we see our Lord Savior anew and afresh once again as He's so depicted and presented in the Scripture. For we ask it in His name, and for His blessed sake we pray. Amen.